Today, we are joined by Ted Dabrowski, president of WirePoints, an independent nonprofit delivering original research and commentary on Illinois' economy and government. Good morning, Ted.
Good morning, LaDonna. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. So are you getting ready for the holidays?
I'm trying to, but, you know, we keep having all these new reports of, you know, stuff happening in Illinois, so we have to keep covering it. But it's all good. I'm getting ready, though.
Yeah. Okay. So what the Illinois pension debt has hit $144 billion. How did it get here?
Well, it's been a long time. They've been, you know, our lawmakers, sadly, have been working on. Bottom line is this: they've been handing out benefits a lot faster than our taxpayers can grow, they can pay for it. And so, you know, we keep handing out all these pension benefits, and they get bigger and bigger, and our taxpayers can't keep up with their tax bills to pay for them, and so that it turns into debt. And now we owe a whole bunch of money into those pension funds, and it's bad news for taxpayers.
Do they not realize that a little bit turns into a lot, or is it just we don't care because we can do it?
Well, yeah, it's that. It's you know, it depends on how you think about these things. Look, it's important to have well-paid government workers. There's no doubt about that. You want motivated government workers. But what we've done is we've created this situation where our government workers get these constitutionally protected, guaranteed, you know, lifetime pension payouts, and ordinary, everyday Illinoisans, they don't get that, but they have to pay more and more taxes out of their pockets to pay for those guaranteed pensions. And so it's a problem because our politicians don't want to change that kind of system. They actually keep perpetuating it. And you've got two classes of workers, one that's got guarantees and the other one has to pay for those guarantees. And it's a big mess.
Yeah, a mess it is. It's worse than the snow that's outside.
Exactly.
But what can we do, or what can we do to get out of this hole? Because it's like you want to just say, put the shovel down. Will that work?
Well, that would slow it down. I mean, you know, there's times when you have problems, and if you can just stop digging a deeper hole, that helps. But the problem is our hole is so deep. You know, pensions, nobody wants to talk about pensions. Nobody even understands them, right? But what it means when you have $144 billion in state debt to pensions, what it means is watch out. Your taxes have to go way up in order to pay down that debt. And that's, you know, they're going to come after us with property taxes, income taxes. And, you know, a lot of listeners on this show will know what those property taxes look like in Southland. I mean, they've been ridiculous, and they'll only go up because the pension debts keep going higher. And so what we need to do is tell our politicians enough is enough.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of people who live off of pensions. You know, there's a lot of government workers, and I know some of them listen to the show, but the problem is it's chasing out people because the property taxes are too high. So we need to tell our politicians enough is enough. You know, do our best to meet the pension obligations we have, but we need to move to a new system going forward. And, you know, that would be like 401ks that everybody else has. We shouldn't treat our government workers any different than we treat ordinary, everyday Illinoisans.
You mentioned something earlier, and guys, if you want to call in, it's 773-591-1690. You mentioned that people don't even understand what pensions are. Help us understand from your perspective.
Yeah, so, you know, it used to be that, you know, companies and governments, so they had pensions. And, you know, pension is you as a worker, you put some money into a fund, your employer, whether it's your school district or, you know, government office, they put money into the pension plan as well. And at the end, when you retire, you get a guaranteed payout for the rest of your life. And in Illinois, it grows at 3% compounding for the rest of your life, as long as you live. And so those pension payouts from the math, they don't really, it's not really fair because what you get out of it is much more than what you put in, and it's guaranteed. And that's, you know, so that's what it is. You have a guaranteed contract, you know, can't take it away. It's in the Constitution. It grows at 3% a year, and it's really rich. And you get to retire, and most people get to retire in their 50s. So it's a massive payout that we owe it from the government to the pensioners, but it's taxpayers who have to pay it. And now the taxpayers, they don't have pensions anymore. The private companies don't do pensions anymore. They just give you enough money for you to put in your 401k, and then you manage it. And so we got two different systems. And that's the difference.
You mentioned that it's unfair because you get more than you put into it. Is this why insurance company or possibly why insurance companies are dragging their feet when it comes to approving certain care for certain age individuals?
Well, that's a little different because that's on the health side. There's some arguments like that, but on the health side, it's different. Here it's just that, you know, you got people retiring in their 50s, where everyday Illinoisans, a lot of them are working into their 60s and 70s, and they don't have a pension. The private companies gave up on pensions long ago because they're too hard to manage, and they bankrupt a lot of companies. Pensions are really tough to manage because they get too big and too cumbersome and too rich. And so that's why they all went to 401ks. But government still stays with pensions, and this is why they have such big problems.
I realize that they're two different entities, but I can't help but think about Dave Chappelle. Dave Chappelle said that when he was a kid, he realized that the guy that was running the tricks, they were all friends. They were all friends. They were all in it. They were all in on it, I should say, so that they could make more money. And when he saw that, it was like shocking. But in this case, it sounds like the pensions and the health care are all friends. So why wouldn't they say, well, maybe if we delay or denial, I'm not trying to start a war here, then we could get some of those people off of those pensions.
Well, Donna, this is a little different, right? Because this is where the buddies are. It's the unions, and you can talk about the teachers union a lot. Chicago Teachers Union. You see their power. You see what they do. And some people may like it, but most ordinary Illinois and Chicagoans are saying, "Wow, those unions have way too much power. They strike when they want to. They keep pushing up their benefits, which push up everybody's taxes." And for me, the problem we have is that the cushy relationship between the unions and the politicians, and they're the ones that take care of each other, and they're the ones that keep pushing up pensions, keep pushing up the payrolls. They therefore they need more taxes to do that, and so it's becoming a battle between the everyday Chicagoans and the power of the politicians and the unions. And the politicians and the unions don't want to reduce pensions; they want to keep them growing. And, ordinary everyday Chicagoans are saying, what the heck should I do? I can't afford these taxes anymore. Right. And that's why a lot of them are leaving. I mean, especially you've seen, huge amounts of people leave Chicago.
Yeah. Speaking of leaving, there's other states in the country. And where do we rank as far as Illinois when it comes to debt?
Thank you for asking that, because we are the extreme outlier in the country. We have the biggest pension debts in the country. Officially, at the state level, Illinois says it's 144, but you have the rating agencies, the credit rating agencies, which kind of they measure the credit scores of states, and they say, that Illinois has $172 billion, even bigger, and it's, by far the worst in the country. Let me give you an example. Mm-hmm. We have $172 billion. It's the highest in the country. The nearest is California at $140 billion. But look at this. Iowa has $2 billion in debt. So it's almost like nothing. They don't have this albatross around their neck. Wisconsin has $4 billion in debt, nothing. Michigan, $8 billion. Indiana, $11 billion. We have $172 billion. And this is why we're struggling and companies can't move here, because they say, well, if I put my company in Illinois and in Chicago, I'm going to have to pay massive taxes and I won't make money. So they're moving to Texas. They're moving to Florida, where the people are moving to. And so we're kind of stuck in this. We're stuck in this bad spot because of all this debt.
Does population play a part in this? The size of the state?
Well, it certainly does. I mean, obviously, it does. But a place like I don't know. Let me find New York. New York has almost no debt. It's it's bigger than we are.
Yeah.
So of course, California is much bigger than we are, but they have less debt than we do. You shouldn't have pension debt, by the way, right? You should fund your pensions. You should fund. You should not be trying to play catch up on people's retirements like we are here.
Right.
Okay. And it's like the Chicago police and firemen, their pension funds are almost broke. There's nothing there.
Mm-hmm. Well, what can we do to get out of this hole? What are some suggestions from Wire Points?
Well, the first thing is I would say, to anybody who's listening, you have to push back on the property taxes because you just don't want to pay anymore. Because all that money goes to pensions, but the bigger thing is just saying we need to move our new government workers to 401ks tomorrow. We can't keep doing the same thing we've been doing, handing out these expensive pensions. 401(k)s for new workers, and after that, we can fight about all the debts and how to reduce that debt. That's a different fight and a bigger fight. But right, it shouldn't be that ordinary, everyday Chicagoans get 401(k)s, but they have to keep paying more and more taxes for lavish, big pensions for government workers.
Now, forgive my ignorance, but if we were to stop paying our property taxes, where the money wouldn't go to pensions, what would happen to those people on the pensions? Would they just not receive them because there's no money?
Well, so here's what's happening now. The Chicago Teachers Union is having a contract negotiation. And in that contract, they want 9% annual raises plus other stuff. I don't know how many of your listeners are getting automatic 9% raises in their contract. Hmm. Most people don't have a contract. Right. Most people just have a job and hopefully they keep it. So we should have a salary freeze, because the more salaries we pay to the Chicago Teachers Union, the bigger their pensions go, and then there go your taxes. So it's we're kind of trapped in a
catch
22 in a circle here where we keep paying them more and more, and it hurts us.
Yeah. This kind of makes me think about quite a few things that are going on. It seems to be customary in this country. It seems to be customary. But see, 591-1690, that's easier to remember, right? We are talking to Ted Dabrowski, and I am I'm actually glad that you explained how those pension funds work, because I don't think that we keep that in the front of our mind for real. It's definitely something to think about, and moving us to 401(k)s, this is like an overhaul, Ted. This is like
it really would be. Yes, yeah. It would be.
Yeah.
But we've seen states and in the country do some of that. And what's interesting is that in the state university retirement system, so you're talking about where the professors and the university workers are in, they have an option to go to a 401(k). They don't have to take the pension. And about 15 to 20% of them do each year, because they don't want to be part of the pension plan. So it's interesting.
Why wouldn't they want to? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Sorry. I want to explain to you how messed up these pensions are, and I want to give you some Southland examples if I can.
Go ahead, please.
Yeah. So let me start with salaries first. So like Kevin Nolte, he's the superintendent of school district in Dalton, school district 148. So he's a superintendent. His base salary is $422,000, and his total compensation is $480,000. And his pension will be based off of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, those are massive numbers. That's more than the governor makes. It's more than the president of the United States makes. And you've got the Blondine Davis and Mattson. She's got a $384,000 total compensation. So those things turn into massive pensions, and I'll explain to you how. So Troy Paraday is now retired from Calumet City. He was a district superintendent there. He retired at 56 because these pensions allow you to retire in your 50s. And his current annual pension is $350,000 a year. And since he retired at 56, if you assume he lives to his retirement age, he'll get $10 million in payouts from the pensions.
Wow.
And if you look at the data, only 9% of black children at Calumet City School District can read at grade level. So you're talking about $10 million payouts, the $350,000 annual pension to workers. And who are the everyday Illinoisans and Chicagoans, or not Chicagoans in this case, but Calumet City? They have to pay property taxes to pay for that kind of salary so that Troy Paraday can get a $10 million pension payout. This is how warped it has become.
So is that why my property taxes went up?
Well, yeah. It's the same thing in Park Forest. You got Joyce Carmine. She's got a $352,000 pension. In Crete, Moni, John Rogers has a $300,000 pension a year. I can keep going through this.
Yeah.
Thornton and Harvey, it's a $245,000 pension. And it's not just the superintendents, right? Because the top leaders get more, and it just gets so expensive, and it gets so out of whack with what ordinary people who work in ordinary jobs get.
Yeah.
And have to pay the taxes for it. That's what I'm saying that's so messed up. And our politicians perpetuate this.
Yeah, we have Tina. Good morning, Tina. Thanks for calling into our show today. We're on the midday show with LaDonna Ray. We're talking to Ted Dabrowski. Thank you so much for calling in.
Yes, I was just inquiring about what he was saying. He was doing the suburban area. Is it possible that he can do the city of Chicago? Because they're getting over just as well as the suburbia with these pension plans. And I just disagree with him as far as starting this 401k plan, whereas employees on the second half has to invest their own money to get a pension when everybody's above them is getting a decent pension.
Yeah, I mean, Tina brings up a good point. What do we do with, you know, if existing workers have something really good and then new workers don't get something as good, what do we do? You know, and that's a really good question. But the thing is that, you know, we're probably going to have to reform, given how much debt we have, and we may never be able to pay it off. We may have to reform what we pay current workers as well. It's a sad story. We've gotten ourselves into a mess. But, you know, the question is, who takes the hit? Is it the ordinary people who take the hit? How do we make this fair?
I agree with you. It's not fair because I know it's for the city of Chicago. You can work for the city and leave there, retire, and go to the state and retire from there just as well. So, you know, you're speaking of just average people, but what are we going to do about the higher-uppers who's getting all these pensions off of us, like the mayor and the alderman? What are their pensions here in the city of Chicago? You're adding up the suburban area. Is there any way that you have the number for the city of Chicago?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I have the numbers for everywhere. You're absolutely right. This is a Chicago issue. It's a North Shore issue. It's not as bad in some areas. Like if you go further downstate, it's a little bit more normalized. But you know, I live in the North Shore in Wilmette, and you know, we got these superintendents. We got tons of them, and they get, you know, $300,000 and $400,000 salaries. Why do we do that? You know, so to make it fair to everybody, we shouldn't have one class of government workers protected, and then the everyday people not protected. So we got to bring some fairness to this. You know, right now I would argue that you know, we're subservient to our public servants, right? It's upside down right now.
I agree 100%, sir, because I know all your pension plans now has the teacher, because I work for you, the city and stuff, and you have it whereas people has the old pension, and you have people coming in with the second pension, which is their 401k plan, is their pension. But the people that's up at the top, they still have they big amount of pension that they're getting, you know, and which, I, like you said, it's not fair.
Mm. Yeah, it's become totally unfair. But I tell you this now. Let me make something clear. I don't blame the people who get these pensions. This is the deal that they got. You know, it's our politicians who are at fault because they're the ones handing out they're doling out the bennies, I call it. You know, they're handing out all the benefits and hope for votes from these people. And that's why, you know, the everyday Illinois are getting their butts kicked because the unions, the power of the unions, the power of the politicians, they're taking care of each other and leaving the rest of the people just to pay the bills and pay more and more.
Man, we're going to get Pam. Hi, good morning. Hi, Tina. Sorry, hold on 1 second. Pam, good morning. We got 30 seconds for you.
I want to know if someone who is from the North Shore, why he is so interested in what's going on in the Southland. I listen every day, but I miss hearing, I've heard his name before, and for some reason, there's something a little wrong with him being from the North Shore and talking so much about people who are Black Americans on the South Side. And I want to know more about who he is and what his credentials are, and why he is so interested in, you know, this is a Black station, and why someone who is not Black is so interested in talking negatively about people. And I'm not, people who get pensions often have spent a lot of money on education, have 3 or 4 degrees, I'm just a little concerned about his credentials and why he is talking so much about people who are on the far South Side. I'm always wondering.
All right, Pam. Pam, thank you for that. We're talking to Ted Dabrowski, and we're going to wrap up because he has to respond to our caller that called in and said that, well, she said that he was Pam decided to be very intentional in saying that he was attacking the black community negatively. And you were not, Ted. You were not attacking. You were simply stating the facts. But would you care to respond?
I'd love to respond. And I appreciate Pam asking that because it helps me also explain. So, yeah, we're a group called Wirepoints. We're a very small group. We're very analytic. We like data. And, you know, a few years ago, we started saying, hey, we don't like where Illinois is headed. We're worried. We're losing people, more people than anywhere in the country except for California and New York. Our property taxes are the highest in the country. Our home values aren't keeping up with what's happening in the rest of the country. Our governments are too corrupt. And we just didn't like what we saw, so we started reporting. And, I come from a family of immigrants. My mom came from Ecuador when she was a young 19-year-old. My dad came to Poland and escaped Poland and immigrated to Chicago. They met in Chicago. They lived the American dream. They gritted it out and they made it. And I'm a product of that. And I'm a big fan of Illinois, but I don't like where it's headed. And I think we should be one of the best, fastest growing, most prosperous states in the country. And right now we're not. And so I don't focus only on South. And I go around the state talking about this same problem. You know, in my neck of the woods, I don't think we should be paying our superintendents these massive
And speaking of that, Ted, mm-hmm. Who determines those salaries? Like, how is it that they can come in and get those types of salaries? And just in 20 seconds, this question is pressing. Who determines that?
Well, you know, it's determined locally, but then they all compete with each other. They're all part of the unions, and so they all take care of each other. And so, you know, if the guy in Wilmette is getting $300,000, well, the guy in Winnetka wants $350,000, and the guy in Glencoe wants $400,000. And then the guy in Calumet City says, look up there. Why are they getting $400,000? I want $400,000. So, you know, it just becomes a big game. Mm. And, you know, it's Pam, unless Pam's a government worker, it's Pam who's on the hook for all these pensions. And it's not fair. So I'm not trying to say anything about Southland. I'm saying the same thing about the power of the government and the unions to pay so much to their workers and putting everyday Illinoisans on the hook. And that's not fair.
That is not fair. Well, before I let you go, Ted, where can our listeners find more of your research and commentary with the Wirepoints?
Yeah, so you can go to wirepoints.org, and we have a website there, and we try to publish news every day. We have a newsletter that we send for free for people who sign up, so please sign up. And if you just go to @Wirepoints on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, you'll find our work.
Thank you so much, Ted. Everyone,
thank you.
Oh, you are most welcome. And come back again to talk to us about this stuff. This data is constantly growing. Wow. This is a conversation we'll certainly be continuing as Illinois faces these ongoing challenges.